you. Okay. I illustrated this poem. I based it. I just need to hand it out though. Like this. There's 9 copies of it to share around.
Oh.
Okay. I did it based on a book I read on Freemasonry. What I learned from it. If you look at the pictures whilst I'm reading, you can probably understand some of the details of the poem. So as you know, like Freemasons, we read quite a lot about secrecy, and well, it's just a lot written in it.
What?
Okay, the poem is called Divine Architect. Between a portal sits the supreme being, no eyes but all seeing, and crowned by a blazing star, a 7-pointed fan of light, the force above the infinite night. In hand, the compass and the square of matter, movable, immovable, both fair, and in equal degree the same, and hath, like day and night, black and white, shown that man's life is a checkered path. The columns make the portal crowned by pomegranates, lilies calla, in which are found life symbols for abundance and reserve, for in their balance it does serve, with the aid of infinite correction, the chance to find in life perfection. To the right is the apprentice's column, by a modern dragon gnawed, to represent the tree of life-given gift in the myth of the ancient Nord. To the left is the scroll of an ancient code, in the Harris type 3rd degree Masonic code. It tells of how this checkerboard of nights and days is a place where destiny with men for pieces plays. Here there is equality and there is rhythm, and in the structure of the throne is a very divine pattern found within our bone. Thanks.
Or you can keep the picture. There's people who didn't get one. I think there's going to be a bidding war soon. Claire O'Driscoll? Question mark? No, okay. Charles O'Neill.
After the open mic last week, Stan Nath says to me, "But your writing is the cheapest form of therapy." So, in the past week, I've done some processing of a conversation I had about 6 weeks ago, and the result is a poem called Transition. "Mum, I've something to tell you," he says with wary eyes. "For fuck's sake, mums know everything, but I try to act surprised. My girlfriend Jess is pregnant. We're due on Valentine's Day. So many things run through my mind, but I'm not sure what to say. I stall, ask how he's feeling. He smiles, says, we're delighted. We're 23, together for years. It's okay to be excited. After the first scan, they're talking names. Not for the baby, but for me. And that's when the whole thing hits the fan. I'm no grandma or granny. If I take on a nana name, I get moved up a generation. So I'm not giving Sharon up for some older designation. None of this was in my plan. I'm just not ready yet. I've barely wrestled Sharon back from the mother epithet. They say it's not about me, but I completely disagree. A grandchild changes who I am when others look at me. I know it's not that big a deal, it's not like someone's dead, but it is a huge transition in my heart and in my head. Chick is my name for myself, a shoe chick among others, rock chick, biker chick, yet to claim since I stepped out of being mother. I scarcely had a heartbeat to be a single chick. I've been mummy daddy for so long, I don't know what makes Sharon tick. I had my children very young and did my mothering best. I've spent every minute since they came being last on my own list. Their dad walked out when things got hard. He simply ran away. 26 years stuck on pause. I think it's time that I pressed play.
Damn right, girl.
Hey! I don't regret the time I spent bringing boys up on my own. But now that they're grown up and gone, I thought I'd get some time alone. I thought I'd get some breathing space to figure out what's next. But I've hardly had a chance to feel what it's like to be myself. And once I figured that bit out, I thought I would try dating, because I'd love to meet that special guy who thinks Sharon is amazing. I know it wrecks my three sons' heads when their friends call me MILF. But imagine what it does to mine to transition to a GILF.
Next we have Seamus Harry.
Thanks, Red. You know, when you go to use a petrol hose, the power is off, squeeze the trigger, nothing, and then it comes on all of a sudden. Reach. I swing clear of the saddle. He's left-handed. We draw together, squeeze the triggers, nothing. My eye is caught by the cactus, sulking behind the window pane. We crouch a yard apart, but he never sees my face. His calfskin knuckles shake at the sudden surge of power. I feel the nozzle kick to my bike's unleaded stream. The diesel digits spin by his silver bullet van. We pump a yard apart, but I never see his face. Another transport. Moments. Broken white lines pass under the fender, each a split second, a winking cat eye. No time to ponder, past here and now. And the last one is Pegasus. Parts merge to enchant, then Zeus, he is gone, in one lightning bolt, blowtorched sheet metal. Pre-dawn, I return to spot stars on his flanks, hippocrine shod, wings brushing through north.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, stretcher walks.
It's paperwork left off from this huge academic archaeologist. You stole out of the cabin, picked up an idle shovel that went on his way, or approached Sheila. No sooner did he arrive on site than he began to interrogate her to no good effect. Was there any valuable bone today, he demanded. A few bits of pottery, some animal bone, why? Do you have a metal detector? You know, find some good stuff. No, metal detectors are illegal in this country, taking things out of the archaeological context and all that. Wouldn't speed up things a bit? I don't want to be stuck in the muck and rain anymore than I have to. What do you think everybody else is doing? I don't know, he said, scanning the site, but seems rather onerous. Why are you here anyway if you find this kind of work onerous? Because I'm skint and need to work. You're only a bad enough by the sound of things. We learned in a remarkable test of patience, told herself that once you've got into swing of things by lunchtime, everything will be all right. However, lunchtime came and almost went, and there was no sign of improvement. Not surprising him, apparently unbeknownst to himself, you was a consistently the subject of considerable and persistent urine rejection by everyone. Lisa has been had his glory for good and bad, but he was described as a never water, who accordingly never cite his appropriate acquaintances and good context as great as achievement. He went out to the smoking cabin, purportedly for a cigarette. He was open for a full 30 minutes. He's gone for a smoke then. Have you ever seen him trying to swing a mattock? He'd swear he'd break his wrist if you listened to him whine. He couldn't even take the wheelbarrow and more a few yards without gasping. Yes, he's already exhausted. He's asleep outside. Take a look if you don't believe me. Future King of Ireland, I thought this was a republic. I made her smoking breaks and her chain smoking breaks. He's as much use as Sinead O'Connor's hairbrush. You can't keep a straight face or a level head with him. Dan's having no moral of this. He marched to the smoker's cabin and found Hugh curled up in the ball, fast Stephen back end. Lunchtime is over, get on the couch, said Wolf Dan. That time again? Oh, I'm not this digging thing, whined Hugh. Why are you here? Cash flow problems and networking opportunities. Sounds pretty okay, but you know something? You are caught and you will die roaring with your legs in the air. Now move it and lose it. The following day, Hugh Grant Goebbels said it was...